Amen. So it's humorous, but yet it's important that that's not home anymore. Home is where they live. And I wanted to introduce my sons, their wives, grandchild. Most of them are in the cry room because they're already crying. I'm preaching. But anyway, but I don't know if you want. Could you stand? I'm sorry. And then my 90-year-old mother, she's still hanging in there. And Patty, my wife. Hey, I hope you wouldn't mind my doing that. Half the time when I speak, I'm engaged in what I'm focused on. And then Patty says, boy, it'd be nice to be recognized every once in a while. So anyway, Patty, you're just you're a gift. But anyway, she puts up with a lot. And so do my kids. But God is at work in my life and he's at work in yours. And I've been real burdened about what in the world to share. I got several messages, but when Pastor Phil asked me, I thought of this message because I don't want to just talk about the jail ministry, although that's my heart, my passion. I want something that challenges you and me and yet brings us closer to that relationship that God really wants for all of us. So I titled this message, New Testament Sacrifices. And what I want to do is, I want to read a passage with you real quickly, and then I've got a short video clip, and then after that, we'll get engaged in what we've got. I hope you've got a pen and a pencil there by you. Please, I want you to participate with me so you don't sleep. God is doing, just first of all, thank you for Drake's Church and their support as a missionary. It is so encouraging. Plus, I want to thank you as a body because you're praying. Out of all of what I want to share this morning with you, and out of all of what I want you to remember most, is I need your prayers for those in jail and for all of those that serve us in our community as deputy sheriffs and detention officers and employees. And before I forget, one of our employees is deathly ill. He's in ICU at Mercy Hospital. It really does not look good. He's not very old. I'd say mid-40s, early 40s. I want to give you his name and I want you to pray. Please pray that God spares his life. He ended up having bronchitis, a cold, ignored it. It ended up being pneumonia to the extreme where he's on life support from pneumonia. And so he's very ill. Rick Johnson, would you pray for Rick, please? Pray for Rick that God might spare his life. He's a cook there at the jail. And the ministry is 1,100 inmates and 490 deputies. It's a ministry of about 1,500 that God has called us to. Some say, Jerry, how long are you going to be there? I say, well, as long as God wants me, but I think I've got a life sentence. Amen. So I'm starting my sixth year at the jail, and I'm just so privileged to be there. I'm so honored. You see, you don't have to convince them that they've sinned. They understand that. You don't have to get their attention. God has their attention. When you hear that someone is in jail, just would you please say, praise God, because he's got them right where he wants them. He's got them away from people. He's got them away from drugs. And he's got them so that he is their attention. It's good. It's real good. Trust me. And when moms call me and say, please go see Johnny, he's a lonely guy, I tell her he's not lonely. He's got God. I had a prosecuting attorney who met me the first week at the jail say, where's Jesus in the jail? He thought he'd trap me. I love the question. I even told him that. I said, I love that question, bud. You guys are a good question. He's the prosecuting attorney for Polk County. And I said, I'll tell you what. Great question. Jesus is in every cell waiting for a heart that cries out to him. Say amen. Amen. So he's everywhere. Amen. He's everywhere he needs to be. But what I want us to do is if you turn to Exodus 25, please. Exodus 25. By the way, I have my display out there and I have newsletters. Normally every month the newsletter's out in the hallway. But last month it was just tremendous what God is doing. 24 gave their hearts to Christ. We had 103 Bible studies. 989 inmates that were involved in Bible study. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is all over that jail. Amen. And I don't know about you, but that excites me that there's a harvest that's right in our own backyard. Right in our own backyard. So thank you for enabling me to be there. And also thank you for your prayers. Pastor Phil always has a stand. So if you'd stand, we're going to read Exodus 25, 1 through 9. I'm going to read it. You just follow along in your Bibles. And then we'll see the video and we'll get started right away in this sermon here. The Lord said to Moses, I tell you, the Israelites, to bring me an offering, you are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, dyed red and hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. Then lead them, make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. Now let's pray. Father, thank you for this moment in time and place that I pray that you would take all the distractions away. And I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that everyone in this room would be glued to you and ask you, Father, to speak into their hearts by the Holy Spirit. From the Word, from what is shared, from the examples, Lord Jesus Christ, may you be exalted and glorified. Thank you for this privilege. Be with our pastor in Peru. May you do incredible things there. And Father, we pray for Rick Johnson. God, please spare his life. We as a body are in agreement with that. He claims to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Lord, his family are crying out for his life. Please, Lord, may you spare it. And Lord Jesus Christ, we just thank you for your illustrations from the Word of God to bring out a message for us that we can grasp and apply. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, please. What does the cross represent to you? Whenever I think of the cross, I think of death. Amen? Death. No one survives the cross. No one survives the cross. The cross represents death. Jesus Christ is calling all of us, as we come to Him, to die to what? Ourselves. And to take up our cross, meaning continually die to self, the rest of our lives. Hey, before I get cooking on this, some of you might not have the scripture sheet. Could you raise your hand? The ushers are looking at me like, please do what I ask you to do. So I want to be obedient. Because in jail it means the padded cell and other things, you see. And as they're passing that out, let me tell you a story real quickly about this picture of what we just had here where Jesus was talking to the thief. By the way, didn't you understand that Jesus was arrested? Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ was arrested. Jesus Christ was beaten. Jesus Christ was humiliated. Jesus Christ experiences what people experience in jail. They don't get beaten, but you understand what I'm saying. Jesus Christ understands the thief. Look who he surrounded himself with, too. You see, the jail ministry is real dear to Jesus Christ. You understand? It's right on the top of his page, dear church. I mean, it's real important to Jesus because I'm telling you, he can find broken and open people. He's real concerned about those people that are there because they understand they're sinners. Those two guys understand that they were bad. The one was gloating over it and wanted to be free so he could go do some more of it. You see, there's those in jail that won't repent and they'll go right back to it, won't there? But then there are those who repent, and I'm telling you, they stack up with the best of the best because they're awesome because Jesus Christ has changed their life. But let me tell you a story really awesome that happened not too long ago with an inmate. By the way, this isn't about us just going in as volunteers. There's over 30 and myself and winning people to Christ. But it's about them who find Christ, then finding others who find Christ. It's about discipleship and multiplication. You see, a lot of the ministry goes on with the inmates. And there was an inmate who greeted a guy in his pod. He came in and he became friends with him. He respected him. He honored him. And about the second day, and he was only going to be in the jail for 4 days. The second day, this man came to him and said, "I, out of all the men in this pod, you've given me respect. You've shown me concern. You've prayed for me. You've shown me empathy. What do you got anyway? I want it." And he led him to Christ. He gets out in 4 days. That's two other days beyond the two that he talked to him and received Christ. The next week, they're all talking with each other, a group of these guys, and they happen to open the paper and look in the obituary, and here's this man. You see, he was like the thief on the cross. He was going to die. Now, those inmates didn't know that, but the Lord did, and the Lord saved him and changed him to be ready for the next week of his life. Isn't that great? I'm telling you, God is doing incredible things, but He wants to do incredible things with you and I. Amen? Church, it's time to wake up. It's time to get up and do something for Jesus Christ. He's coming soon. And all we need to do is share what Jesus has done with you. And that's it. Because all of us have a unique story that God wants to use. If you truly know Him, there's something to tell someone about. Amen? Not just your job, not just the latest show, not just the latest craze, but Jesus Christ. Tell Him about what He means to you so that we can be the kind of sacrifices that God can use. The memory verse, could you guys show that up there, please? And could we read it out loud together, please? Excellent. Let's read that together as a crowd, please. "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 2:5. You see, we are living stones. We are built up to be a spiritual house, a holy priesthood for Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus is all about doing something in you and me. You see, it doesn't begin until He has all of you. Until He has all of you, He can't do all that He wants to do with you. He wants to use you and me, but He has to have us before He can use us. If we're distracted, if we're devoted to other things, He can't, because He wants all of us, not just a part of us. Oftentimes I'll tell inmates, Jesus Christ didn't bring you to jail to arrest you. Jesus Christ brought you to jail to rescue you. Oftentimes we need rescued from the things that are distractions in our lives, things that aren't meaningful in our lives that we give ourselves to. And it's time to get our lives focused on what really matters and matters most. Well, fill in the blanks with me as we go. The temple was a physical example of God's presence on earth. And that's talked about in 1 Kings 5 through 8. In fact, the temple was where all the Jews would come specifically yearly to offer their sacrifice, but also to experience the presence of God. You understand, to the Jew, the temple was it. Isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ was sent and Jesus Christ tabernacled among us, or in other words, His temple indwelt the power of the Holy Spirit, Emmanuel, God with us, Matthew 1:23. But as we go on, the purpose of these holy places was for God to dwell among His people. You see, God wanted His people to experience His presence. Have you experienced the presence of God today? We can experience His presence as we spend time in His Word. By the way, we can't be of any use unless we've spent time with the Word of God, unless we've spent time with the Logos, unless we've spent time getting from Him before we can give to others. You see, the purpose of these holy places was to dwell among His people. And this was God's plan when Jesus, the perfect temple, tabernacled among us. John 1:14 tells us on the back there on your scripture sheet. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, when Jesus was seen on earth, they saw God. I have oftentimes inmates will tell me, if I could just see God, if I could just see Him, I'd believe. Just like those Pharisees and just like that thief on the cross. They're all looking for the miracle so that they could believe. And yet I tell the inmates, every volunteer that comes to see them is really Jesus in the flesh. Jesus comes to see you right here in jail. You being Jesus, if you know Christ as your Savior, you are Jesus that some people will only see you and never enter a church, never read the Word of God. And so you're the only Jesus that they'll ever see. When Jesus ascended into heaven, He sent His Holy Spirit to indwell, fill in the blank, indwell His followers. John 14, 16 and 17 on the back of your scripture sheet says, I will ask and the Father will give you another counselor or comforter to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. And that's where we're going. This is such a special thing that God has done for us New Testament saints, that the Holy Spirit indwells us. It's something that we just quickly state, but we've got to profoundly understand what is going on, because He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we would be then what? Tabernacles and temples in the world. That tabernacle was that tent that Moses set up in the desert, and there was the outer, the inner, and then the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies was that place that the priest was only one to enter. And isn't it interesting that Hebrews tells us that we all have access to that Holy of Holies because of Jesus Christ? Man, that is an incredible thought, that come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly and be heard. Come boldly. Sometimes what keeps us from being bold is our sin, is it not? We feel guilt, and of course the enemy wants to pound us and confuse us and often make us feel that we can't, we're not worthy. It's not that we're ever worthy, it's that Christ has made us worthy. He has made us worthy to come. Going on in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Look at verse 17. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are to the temple. It's your body sacred to God. He wants you to live purely. He wants you to watch over it. He doesn't want us to harm it because He indwells it. I remember clearly when I first became a Christian, I was at the time when I got saved, I had been an habitual smoker. I smoked about 2 packs a day, and I had for about a 2-year period. And I remember getting saved, and I just remember going into church where I had been saved, and I remember going in, and I remember coming out, and I remember lighting up, and I remember inhaling, and I remember the Holy Spirit saying, why did you do that? And I dialogued with the Lord, and I said, well, because it's a need. He said, no, you don't understand. I just cleaned you completely up. And when I inhaled, it was as though I had never smoked before. I went home and threw all my cigarettes away. You see, Jesus Christ had made me clean. The temple was new. The temple was clean. Going on, it says, as God's representatives of His presence. You see, we are God's representatives of His presence. We need to find ways to bring God's presence to others through our reflection of Christ. We need to do that. I'll tell you, a key way to do that is to look for needy people. Look for people like Zacchaeus who climbed the tree. Amen. I'm not talking about little children's stories. I'm talking about it was so obvious to Jesus that the Father was at work right there in that tree. How many others had climbed a tree to see me? Jesus would say to himself, only this one. And he went to his house today because salvation awaited that man, because God was at work in his life. There are people that work around us. There are neighbors who live around us. They are in need, and we have to have eyes to see, and then we have to go to them with the love of Christ. And oftentimes all that entails is to pray. Can I pray for you? A few weeks ago, I was looking for a trailer. And I called a guy got on the internet and called this guy, and I started talking to him. He started opening up with me. He didn't know me from Adam. He starts opening up with me and saying, I've been off work for 5 months and I need to sell the trailer, and my wife's home with the kids, and that's a commitment we've made, and I'm selling my things to help keep my wife at home until I get a job. And I've saved up a little bit, but we're about out of that money. And I was just impressed with this guy. That he had some priorities that I felt were biblical, even though I could tell that he didn't know Christ. And I said at the end of the conversation, I said, "Would you be offended if I prayed for you and your family?" He said, "No." I got done praying and he started crying. And then when we went to get the trailer, you know, he was an instant friend. How many people are around us that we could make as instant friends because they need our prayers and they need our love? People are hurting, amen? Not just in jail, but everywhere they're hurting. And this crisis around us is getting people's attention. You know, it's interesting for me. I just start quoting Revelation all the time with about everybody. I don't care who it is because they're all scared to death. I mean, the ocean's filling with oil. Amen. And I tell them, well, from the satellite, it shows that it's red. And that's what Revelation talks about. It's going to turn red. They go, "Wow, it's getting scary out, isn't it?" I said, "Well, it sure is, unless you know Christ." We need to get bolder. Amen. But do it in love. Don't thump them with the Bible. Amen. Just love them. We need to love people. They're scared. They're scared. And the Bible has got the answers. Jesus will do what He says. Amen. Well, going on here, the believer's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Along with our being His temple comes the role of priest or priesthood of the believer and the believer's New Testament sacrifice. Look at that we've just read that our sacrifice is us. You understand? That's what is the New Testament sacrifice. It's us. Romans 12, 1 and 2, you can flip it over. It's my favorite verse in all the Bible. As I was preparing for this and thinking about this, I thought, "Lord, you've blessed me that I could share the two most favorite verses in all the Bible with you or with these folks that I love." And that's Romans 12, 1 and 2 and Galatians 2, 20. And I'm going to quote both. But he tells us that he beseeches us. That means he urges us. He eagerly wants us to do what? Offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. We know that He wants it because it's acceptable. He says, it's good stuff when you bring you to me. And He says, this is your reasonable form of service. And He says, no longer be conformed by the world. In other words, don't let it conform you to its image, to its thought process. Don't be thinking like the world. Think like I thought, because we have the mind of Christ. And it goes on that you might prove what is His good and perfect and acceptable will. I don't know how greater a verse can cover all of the gamut of what it's all about. I want to do God's will. Well, what is God's will? Having me and having you. That's God's will. How good is that will? It's perfect. It's good. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well-pleasing, which is your reasonable service. Isn't that interesting? Our service begins with me putting myself on the sacrifice of life. How do I do that? Well, I simply tell Him, please take me. Please use me. I want to start my day out that way, don't you? Lord, take me. Lord, use me. Use me up. I don't want anything left. Use me up. Sometimes my family doesn't get much because I don't have much. I'm tired. And I apologize to them in front of all of you that's not an excuse. I need to kick in my second wind. But I'm telling you, I want to burn out until I run out. Do you understand? I'm impressed with Moses. The guy could see. He was on fire for God until he breathed his last. But why, as living sacrifices, do we keep crawling off the altar? Why? Is it because of your own ambitions? Is it because of your insecurities? Is it because you don't trust Him? Why do you crawl off? Is it because you might he might ask you to do something you don't want to do? You know, until we do what He wants us to do, our lives are meaningless and really empty, even as believers. Are they not? Hebrews 13:15. So first, the first New Testament sacrifice is you and me. That's the first sacrifice. The second sacrifice is Hebrews 13:15. Let's read it. I'll read it out loud. It says, Hebrews 13:15, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. You see, Jesus Christ wants us to offer sacrifice of praise. That's the two blanks. Sacrifice of praise. How is praise a sacrifice? Well, when you're in pain all the time, like my wife, because of her neurological disease, and she thanks God, that is a sacrifice of praise. When you do something that you don't want to do for God, that is a sacrifice of praise. When you thank God for a flat tire, like we usually get out in the country, you thank God for flat tires because it's a sacrifice of praise. Does that make sense? When you've got teenagers that are difficult, you thank God for difficult children and teenagers, and you praise God. Those are sacrifices of praise. You see, God wants us to sacrifice to Him praise, the fruit of our lips. And it's not when it's going good. It's when it's going bad that really is a sacrifice. Say amen. Why is it so hard to say thanks, though? Why is it so hard for us to say thanks? Or to offer praise so that God calls it a sacrifice? What is it about us that we don't want to thank God? We don't want to thank even others when they do things for us. What makes us thankless? It's interesting, that story of the 10 lepers and only one came back and said thank you is really sort of typical of people, isn't it? You moms do so much and hardly ever hear a word called thanks, do you? Thanks. The Father loves it when we sacrifice praise. When it's not good, but yet we thank Him. I'm telling you, it releases God's power in our lives. You see, that's what Jesus Christ would want of us, to be thankful. Number three, Hebrews 13:16 tells us, Hebrews 13:16 says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. You see, the third area that we need to give to the Lord as a New Testament sacrifice is to do good to others. Do good to others. How can we do good if we don't know that there's a need? Number one, we need to share with one another our burdens, don't we? So that we can at least know what we can do to be good to you and to encourage you in your walk. That helps, does it not? So it's important to share your burdens and your cares. It's important to know what you need so that we can do good. But then when you see an opportunity to do good, let's make it our aim to do good. Amen. It's interesting. One of the inmates, his name's George, he was going through Iowa with a car full of drugs and got pulled over, came to Polk County Jail. And George met me in one of the pods and he said, Chaplain, he said, I want you to know that God's called me to pastor this pod, and the pod's about 64 people. I said, well, George, why do you say that? And he says, well, let me tell you my story. And he told me he was coming through Iowa with a car full of drugs. He got pulled over. He came to Polk County, never been to church, never heard the gospel. And he came to Polk County, he heard both, and he accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior. You see, he told me, Chaplain Jerry, he said, I was headed to hell on my way to California. And I came to Polk County and I found Jesus Christ, and now I'm headed toward heaven. Praise God. And George told me, he said, I'm so burdened for people around me now. I want to just do something for them. And so every man that walks in the door that's new to the pod, I will greet them and tell them my name. I'm George. And I'll tell them what happened to me. In other words, he'll give them his testimony. And after he gives them his testimony, he says, could I please pray for you about anything that's on your heart? And then usually they'll share something that's burdening them. And the fourth thing he tells them is, I do a Bible study every night in my pod. Would you please come? George saw a lot of people come to know Christ. Isn't that awesome? He was doing good. He was doing good. He's still doing good in federal prison. Because I know George is still doing good for God. Isn't it good that he came across to Iowa? You guys understand that people from all over the world come to Iowa? Let me tell you about two Chinese that came to Iowa. Couldn't even speak English. They were deported back to China. They wanted Bibles. One of the gals was so burdened to share the gospel with them that she drew pictures of the cross and gave her testimony. They came to Christ. They asked for Bibles. I couldn't find any around Des Moines Chinese Bibles. Finally, I did after about 2 weeks. I ran them upstairs. This is at the old jail. I ran them up there and I handed them the Bibles, the tears running down their face. They were so thrilled to get them. 2 hours later, they were deported to China. Doesn't that sound like the... Isn't that great? The Philippian eunuch, you know, Philip and the eunuch, boom, he was gone. I'm telling you, it happens at the jail. Moments of opportunity, divine appointments. The next one is number 4, Hebrews 13:16. And share financially with others, for with such sacrifices God is well pleasing. Philippians 4:14-20. Let me read that real quick. It says, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church, listen to this, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for that what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more, and I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are fragrant offerings as an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God." Did you catch that? Their giving was a... Oh, isn't that an awesome description? A sacrifice, a sweet aroma, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God, fragrant offering. We just think that we're giving something tangible, like money. But to God, it's sweet aroma coming from our lives. Going on, it says, "And God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To God the Father and be glory forever and ever." You know, in the context of where that verse is at, you know, that often Christians use if they're in need, oftentimes it's, you're more blessed to give, or more blessed to receive or give than to receive. You understand what I'm saying here? I'm just saying that the point is that God honors gifts. He loves givers, does He not? And this message is all about giving. Giving, first of all, yourself. Giving, second of all, praise. Giving, thirdly, to do good. And fourthly, financially. Sharing with others financially. I'm not sharing this because I want financial gifts from you. What I'm saying is as missionaries, oftentimes we'll go into churches and you'd be surprised. I mean, they know the need and it's as though they avoid the need. I really believe that church, we need to work at getting to a point in our lives, every one of us, where we can give more instead of give less. Say amen. That means getting out of debt if we can. Get out of debt. When our lives are living sacrifices, first of all, bodily, that means it starts with you. No one else. It starts with you. He wants you. I don't know how to convince you that that's the most important sacrifice you can make. He wants you bodily. He wants you verbally. He wants your praise. He wants you physically. He wants you physically. He wants you to do good. And He wants you financially. He wants you to live a pleasing life to Him. He wants you to be pleasing to Him. Those are the things that I feel that can help us be New Testament sacrifices. But we have to understand what's at stake. What's at stake is the enemy taking more and more before they hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You pray. pray that God would use you. Pray that God would help you to be focused on what He wants to do in your life. Let me tell you a couple of stories in conclusion here. There was a gentleman that was on the pod that was going to court the next day. And as he went to court, he was so nervous, so upset, so agitated. And one of the inmates that was a Christian noticed it, and he came up to him and he said, "Listen, is there something I can pray for you about?" He said, "Listen, buddy, I don't know about prayer, but," he said, "I'm going to court tomorrow and they're looking at a life sentence and I'm not too happy about it. All right, do you get it?" And the guy says, "Yeah, I'll pray for you." He says, "Well," he said, "I'm an atheist. I don't know if prayer will do any good, but if it makes you feel better, go ahead, buddy." So the guy knelt his head and he prayed for him. And the next day he went to court. The guy came back into the pod and he sought out this guy. And as soon as he found him, he came over to him. He said, "I don't know what you got, buddy, but I want it." He said, "Well, I went to court today. They dismissed all my charges and I'm going home." He said, "I need what you got." And so he led him to Christ. I'm telling you, God works through crisis. Are you looking for crisis around you so that God can use you? Are you looking for crisis, or do you run from it when it comes into your own life? Because then those are opportunities to praise His name. Some of the greatest things in our marriage, for instance, has been through crisis. It strengthens our marriage. The treasure chest goes deeper, and the things that we share can't ever be replaced. I'm telling you that God wants to use us right where we are. How about you? How about you? Are you ready to be a living sacrifice? Are you ready to have your life count for something other than just coming to church? It's more than coming to church. Amen. It's everyday church. Amen. That's what I'm about. Everyday church. Aren't you? Everyday church. Because He wants us to be living sacrifices. Thanks for the opportunity to share, and I pray that God would use you this week. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your faithfulness.